guys may sometimes giving 100 and even beyond that. So the reward is tremendous. And of course there are some brothers that may not have the ability to give, some sisters may not have the ability to give. The least you can do is wish well to those that are given. And the Quran is called Ma'ruf wa Ma'ruf al-Khayr Salam again wa Ada, that sometimes to say a kind word and to support projects can get you the reward that can be more than the one that has given sometimes the dua heart. So alhamdulillah, some of you have given.
Sir, will you give me quiet please? Imam is speaking, please be quiet, I can't hear a word. Shh.
Don't listen to her, you need to listen to me. As I was saying, alhamdulillah, those of you that have given, whatever you have given, it's a good thing. And sometimes we give and we follow it with evil talk, such as I shouldn't have given, maybe I should have given elsewhere. Allah says, if that's what you're going to do, then at least say beautiful things. And let others give and support their giving. So whoever has given, whoever has made dua, whoever has done well. And for those that cannot give and they want to give, make your niyyah inshallah in the month of Ramadan. Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Rahim. And He will give you that reward inshallah. Even if you give it out of Ramadan, nothing can stop Allah out of His kindness and to give you the fullest. Having said that inshallah, I will just share a few words with you, not a lot. And mainly, I'll be speaking primarily from the Quran, open and read them a few places, and share with you what we have discussed in the month of Ramadan. The Quran says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنْزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. This is the month of the Quran. The Quran should be running through your bloodstream. You should be listening to it. You should be talking about it. You should be reading it. And you should be sharing it in every capacity. If you cannot do it in this month, then which other month are you going to do it? So let us discuss a few words from the Quran, primarily with one thing in mind, attaching ourselves, our hearts, our body, our life, our family to the Quran. The Khalif used to say very beautifully, it is through this Quran we have been elevated. It is through this Quran the world is elevated. You go to Harvard University on the legal department, on the law school, they have the phrase, Inna Allah yamuru bil adli wal ihsan. Every individual out there that wishes to use an ounce of their brain, they will tell you, as far as the Quran is concerned, undoubtedly, it has a cure to every illness. Your economy is going bad, observe the rules of riba. Your relationship is going bad. Allah clearly says, وَالِرِّجَالِ نَصِيبُ مِمَّا وَالِنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبُ مِمَّا. For both of you, there is a place. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ. Start spending on your family. قَوَّامُونَ doesn't mean I'm strong, I can beat up my wife. قَوَّامُونَ means you have to be responsible for your wife. يُخَادِرُونَ اللَّهُ وَخَادِرُونَ وَإِذَا قَوْمُ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ قَوْمُ مِنَ. Things are going wrong in your life. Put your salah right. Read it like how Allah wants you to read it, and you will see success in your life once your salah is done. There was a brother that was walking once, and as he's walking, his hand shakes and he drops the water. The sheikh says there's something wrong with the salah. The sheikh was right. Your shakiness is life. Your shakiness is life is linked directly to your salah. فَأَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Imam Ghazali says that if your salah does not have khushu, it does not have tranquility, it's one of the rare imams that says, if your salah doesn't have the full concentration, if your salah is up, down, turn around and back to town, then he says your salah must be repeated. Your salah must be repeated. He gives this high criterion. And salah put right will help you. It will help you move away from garbage talk. It will help you move away from futile people. It will incline you towards good. اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون. What did we read in Tarawih? What did we read? Stay out, the time is coming close where your throat, where your life is going to be coming to an end. You are going to be put 6 foot down. You know what's the scariest thing about this graveyard here? Especially when that young boy got buried. From that night, I think I must have lost quite a few nights of sleep. It haunts me. Imagine, first guy to be buried in that graveyard.
alone he's going to be till that day of Qiyamah. Doesn't matter who he is, doesn't matter his nationality. That one fellow, on that one blazing hot day, it was very hot. It was so hot, people were actually running towards the tree on the corner of the graveyard. They were running behind that tree. What does the Quran say? On the day of Qiyamah, it will be so boiling hot, you'll be dripping. And as you are dripping, you'll be semi-drowning in your own perspiration. That's how it will be. You know what's going to happen at Qiyamah? Your skin will not be like how it is right now. Delicate, putting lotion, making it soft. In fact, you read Allah Masyuti's work. He says your skin will become thick. It will be bigger. Your size will be bigger. And for those that are going to go to Jahannam, Allah will be putting bits. You know those bits you put in barbecue to make that barbecue sparkle? For their punishment, Allah will be putting chips in their skin and they'll be crackling from within. My brothers, this is the reality. This is the reality you and I have to deal with. And we can't say Jannah and Jahannam is not going to happen. You have a nightmare at night. Who can prove you had a nightmare? But that nightmare happens for a reason. It's to show you that your real life, you may think you have control. When you are in your sleep, you have no control. That's it. Things are happening. You are screaming. Allah says, this is what's going to happen when you go in the grave. Then this world becomes no more a reality. That becomes a reality. And those of you that came to the funeral, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So Allah is trying to teach us all these various things when He makes mention of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in the Quran says, for example, an ayah that I mentioned also, in Layton Masjid, may Allah give them barakah and allow them success in the masjid. Inna Allah ishtara min al-mu'mineen anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahum al-jannah. Why is it good for you to be a good Muslim? Because my brothers, yes, you own your car, you own your house, your wife is scared, you can dominate her, you act like you own her. The child that you have, Allah gave you control over that child, so you can manipulate that child's mind. You can do all those things. Allah says, be careful. Allah says, be careful. Why? Inna Allah ishtara. What's ishtara? It has to do with purchasing power. Allah says, I have purchased you, I own you, I have bought you. While you are running to buy other things, understand about that, Allah is saying, I'm here and I bought you out. What do you do with the thing you have bought? Your car, you can do whatever you want, donate it to whoever you want. Your jewelry to your sister, you can give it to your son, give it to your daughter, give it to your daughter-in-law. Or better yet, what some mothers-in-law do? They don't give the jewelry, they dangle it. If you are nice to me and you cook all the meals, when I die, I'm going to give you this. That's the game they play with these girls. And you and I have the sisters, go and get a job if you need a job. You make 10,000 worst case per year. In 10 years you make 50,000, the jewelry only costs 10,000. What is she dangling in front of you? But what happens? We get caught up in these things. I want what somebody else has. What the Quran says. Don't have your eyes on somebody else's thing. La tamattana aynaika ila ma matta'na bihi ilahan ayah. That when you dangle your eyes on somebody else's thing, it's going to ruin your iman. So get yourself focused. So Allah is saying, your body belongs to me. Your life belongs to me. Your family belongs to me. Everything belongs to me. O insan, have you forgotten that? What does Imam Shafi say? For a person who does not realize that he or she belongs to Allah, they are committing shirk. For a person who does not realize my life belongs to Allah, my property belongs to Allah, my possession belongs to Allah, you are committing shirk. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Anyone that commits shirk in his fullest sense, no, a different subject, in his fullest sense, la yaghfir Allah wa forgive that person. If Allah does not forgive you, my brothers, what is left? You're not going to have barakah in your life. You're not going to have rahmah in your life. You're not going to have mercy in your life. You're not going to have compassion in your life. You're not going to have goodness in your life. Your life is as if you are a dead man walking. Ruin. After this ayah, what comes? Al-Daibur, Al-Abidur, Al-Hamidur. Your trick to your success is Tawbah. Go to your wife and say, I'm sorry, I oppressed you. Forgive me. Go to your parents, I'm sorry, I was negligent. I was disobedient. Go to your mother. I'm sorry. I must have done things behind your back. I apologize, my blessed mother. It's not your business whether your mother was bad to her mother. It's not your business whether your father is mean to his brothers or his parents, etc. Allah will question you, why were you not good to your father and your mother? Focus on that. So tawbah is a very broad concept. But the key of attaining your tawbah is first acknowledging you are wrong, putting right that you are wrong, and rectifying your wrong. And once you do that, then you will see, inshallah, the beauty of your salah. Let us do one few more ayah and we will be done, inshallah. Thereafter we will do, inshallah, the dua. Allah in the Quran said, yesterday we read that, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. This is regarding Abdullah bin Umar Maktoum. This Sahabi once came to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was a blind Sahabi. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was talking to the Quraysh. They were the influential people. And as Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving da'wah, this Sahabi comes and he wants to ask a question. He just blurts out. He wants to know facts. He wants to know things. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got very upset. My brothers, those of you that want to impress non-Muslims over your Muslim brothers, that I'm going to wash your body someday and put you in that graveyard. We want to impress the non-Muslims for whatever reason. And this is teaching us a lesson. When Rasulullah ﷺ made a mistake, it was not a mistake from his side as much as it was an error that was made to benefit us so we can learn from that on how to behave. And we have many, many ayah in the Quran that can bring proof to the statement. So when this blind Sahabi came, Rasulullah was addressing the Quraysh and he got very upset. Abasa watawalla. He frowned and he turned his face away from that believing Muslim. Anja'ahu al-a'ma. When this blind person came, that's exactly what he did. Wama yudrika la'allahu yazzakka. Allah says, how do you know, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perhaps this person that has come to you, this blind Sahabi, for me and you, that poor Muslim, for me and you, that Muslim that is broke, that cannot give money to any institution, that Muslim that looks disheveled, that Muslim that is looking impoverished, that Muslim that is just, what they say, fresh off the boat, fog, cannot speak English very well, that Muslim that is having a calamity, and when we look at him, he looks like a total wreck. Allah says to you and I, you are judging that person. You are making an error in your thoughts regarding that person. Perhaps that very individual that you are pitying on, male or female, boy or girl, old or young, perhaps that person can attain a higher level of purification than yourself. And perhaps by you focusing on that person, you will eventually attain your Jannah. So Allah is saying, how do you know that perhaps this blind person will be purified by the advice you are going to give him, rather than you focusing on the Quraysh, some of them that don't even want to come towards you. They are attacking you and attacking your people. My brothers and sisters, the powerful lesson here, you know, I get sisters that complain all the time. When I go to school, they say, my own sister calls me a fundamentalist and a bigot. And the non-Muslim will say, it's good that you are wearing the scarf. I'm proud of you. Keep up your culture. So many Muslim men and women, they will walk in the stores. Non-Muslims will tell them, keep your culture, keep your tradition. Don't be influenced by systems other than Islam or systems other than your religion. And my own brother and sister will say, no, 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 walk away from her. She's very, very fundamentalist. Walk away from him. Is something wrong with that fellow? He's maybe joining the radical group with the way he looks. I'm not hurt with that non-Muslim attacking me. But these ayahs say, when Muslims attack Muslims, when Muslims hurt Muslims, Then, my brothers in Islam, we have to understand well, we are now begging and demanding the wrath of Allah to come upon us. Then how can we accept, and how can our du'as be accepted thereafter? So Allah says, oh, يَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعُ الذِّكْرَى. This poor person, this blind person, this invalid looking person, this handicapped individual, whatever, fill in the blank, this weak individual may take your advice much more than anyone else and create a greater benefit for the ummah. My brothers, if we cannot benefit from this ayah, then who is this ayah for? And non-Muslims, they are taking these ayah. That's why you go in many Western countries, there is physically challenged signs. You go in hospitals, they have special elevators for Muslims, I mean, for people that are physically challenged. Those people that are under the poverty line, there are special government aid for them. Western laws, Western countries are taking from this ayah. And me and you, we are playing with it. We talk about it, but we say, our Quran has everything. Yes, our Quran has everything, but we act like we have nothing. So it's time for us to reflect. So as the Imam read towards the end, what did he say? Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. Allah is taking an oath in time. And there are many different tafsir regarding asr. One of them is the following. The time of asr is a very critical time. Critical in the sense you are going home. Critical in the sense that you become neglectful of what's necessary for you. If business was bad, now you start saying business was bad, you get angry. That's what happens when you go home. You had conflict at work, it messes up your mind. You go to your wife and you take it out on her. The day was bad, you miss your salah. And the list goes on. Allah says, during this, I take an oath in the critical time of Asr. What does it say? Innal insana lafi khusr. In the aspect of time, in the critical nature of it, all of you are at a loss. Innal insan. Allah is saying, every human is at a loss. And look at 7 billion people, 1.5 billion Muslims. No voice. No voice, absolutely. Wherever you are, we go on fighting with our brothers, we are fighting with our sisters. My tribe is better than that tribe. One girl sent us an email. My father said, I cannot marry that boy. I would prefer you to marry a non-Muslim than marry the guy because of a Muslim tribe. Where's the father's brain? The girl wants to get married to a Muslim boy. She's even saying, I want to have a halal relationship. Give me a halal relationship. What the father says, go marry a non-Muslim out there, I don't mind. But you're not going to marry because they're not from our tribe. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Many people will ask you for money. I have Muslims coming here, Muslims. They are crying. Imam, Muslims cannot give us money. Muslims are refusing us. I'm using a credit card, I'm living on riba. Do you know what the ulama have said? If that man dies in that poverty state eating riba, every one of us, including myself, will be punished in the day of the Qiyamah. Did you know that? If a Muslim dies out of poverty, listen to me clearly. If a Muslim dies out of poverty, each one of us on the day of Qiyamah are going to be suffering because of our not giving him basic survival and basic sustenance. Now you wonder why your wife doesn't like you. Now you wonder why you have a problem with your husband. Now you wonder why your child is having those monkey looking haircuts. Now you wonder why they have all these clear, crazy earrings coming out of the ears. Now you wonder why they have tattoos all over their bodies. I know what's happening, you know what's happening. Muslims, we talk, forget others, Muslims. You know why it's happening? إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. It's happening because of one thing. You are turning your back on poor people. You are turning your back on innocent people. You are turning your back on widows. You are turning your back on orphans. What does Allah say? ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ. Simple Arabic. If you know basic Urdu, you can know what I'm saying. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ. You know what fasad means? فِي الْبَرْدِ وَالْبَحْرِ. Talking about ocean, land, etc. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرْدِ وَالْبَحْرِ. لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah is saying, all the difficulty you're going through in life is because of what your hands have earned. Things that you have done wrong. Now Allah says, pay the price for it. My brothers, I'm not here to attack you. I'm not here to pick on you. Don't take it that way. What we are saying and focusing on is, let's now put ourselves right. You want your wife to be happy. You want your husband to be happy. You want your child to be happy. You want your community to be happy. Some of you even want your imam to be happy. Fine, wonderful, no problem. Then you've got to put your things right, your actions right, your life right. Otherwise, in that insan that we hustle, you get a loss in this world and perhaps even the hereafter. So what's your solution? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Believe in Allah. Give yourself to Allah. Attach yourself to the Quran. Give yourself to the Quran. Give yourself to Hadith. Give yourself to Sunnah. Give yourself to everything good. And after you believe in that, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Start doing good things. Poor person, help them. Project, help them. Somebody needs money for school, help them. Somebody needs money for food, help them. Somebody finds a good boy or girl to get married to, help them. See, the boys are smiling when I say that. And that's fine, alhamdulillah, may Allah make it easy for them. So, that's what وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ means. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Simple version, simple translation. Hold on to haqq. قُلِ الْحَقِّ. Say the truth, even if it is bitter. Do the truth, even if it is hard. And Allah will open your doors. You know, my brothers, I will conclude with this. I want you to challenge and take me up on this. Think of something that you can't let go of and is evil. For some, it may be looking at haram. For others, it may be doing haram. You may have 15, 20 things you do, but I want you to take me on a challenge on this. One thing you just give up, just one thing. And after you give up that one thing, when I say give up, I mean give it up. If it is yelling, give it up. Whatever it is, one thing you must give up that you have a problem doing. And after that, perform your salah. I say, wallahi, a time will come when you perform your salah, you actually burst out crying the love of Allah. One thing that you feel is your downfall, give it up. And thereafter, perform that one salah. And at least try for 40 days, and you'll see the beauty of that salah. Imam Ghazali's khushu will become a reality. Give $1 to a poor person thereafter, after you gave them one evil. Wallahi, the pleasure you'll get from giving them $1, it is as if you gave a million. After you gave them one evil act, say salam to your mother and father, and you'll see the difference in your life. And inshallah, by giving up that one thing and being motivated with the goodness that will come, inshallah, it will lead to a second and a third. So again, inshallah, we will now have the dua. One of our women will do the first 5 minutes, and thereafter I'll do the remainder. Many people have requested duas for many things. And the best dua is from the one over here that has made a pledge to Allah that they'll give up wrong. They have made a pledge to Allah, they will take care of their parents. They have made a pledge to Allah, even though it is hard to take care of sometimes the children and spouses, they will do the best. You make all these pledges to Allah, and inshallah, Allah will have no reason, inshallah, to deny your dua. So inshallah, may Allah bless you all. May Allah give you all the necessary success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your du'as. May Allah accept, inshallah, your tawbah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us from now on. Defend what is good. Defend our fellow Muslim brothers in Islam. Stand up for them. Do good for them. And inshallah, we will be able to taste the beauty of Islam, our beauty of Iman. Don't just say, you have submitted, etc. Don't, all you have is just a little bit of it. Give yourself in totality, and Allah will give you higher and higher positions. Inshallah. Now, just for a minute.
Oh, the microphone.
Just for a minute, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.